If you've got your Bibles, let's go to Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1. We'll start at verse number 4. We'll jump to verse 12 and go through verse 14. And it reads, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Verse 12, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Man, this is typically a message of shouting and spitting and dancing, and it's exhilarating and it's overwhelming, but not what I was given. Because I think that we missed a couple of spots in this inauguration, if you would, of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. There was something there that God began to enlighten on me and started to show me some things. Because how many of you know that when God's about to do a thing, he gives you some direction? And it is our responsibility as his children to seek the understanding of the direction in which he's giving us. Not all times, and if you've been a Christian for any period of time, not all times what you hear from God is what God meant. Anybody? Sometimes we do what we thought we heard, but we got so excited in the beginning we didn't hear everything else at the end. We got a word of prophecy over our life, and out the door we took, and the next thing you know, we've sold everything. We've bought vans, and we've done this, and we jump on the street, and God said, "I mean, as much as it would be, or as nice as it would be for you to do all this, this isn't what I'm calling you to," and you missed that part. There was something that was taking place here with the disciples, and if you'll just follow along, I'm going to give you a small backdrop. I mean, here are the disciples in the presence of their Savior, in the presence of the King. They are standing in the midst of the one that they have followed for so long. They're having conversation with one that has already been crucified, that had been buried, and now that is raised from the dead. And here he stands speaking with his disciples. Can you imagine the emotional stress that the disciples were under? I mean, first they saw him die, then they come to the tomb, they see him gone, and lo and behold, here he comes again to show himself to a jacked up crew, not knowing whether to be excited or cry or run. I wonder how many of us find ourselves in situations like that. Man, we've served God and we've walked with him. We've done what he's called us to do. And here we are in the ebbs and the flows of his goodness and of the trials of this world. And he shows up, and he shows up in the midst of where everything around us seems to be crumbling, and he steps onto the scene, and now we go, "Here you go again." I didn't think this was going to be a preach. I've been pretty somber the whole way through it. And he's looking at them, and now he's telling them, don't leave Jerusalem. I mean, just me. So don't scream at me later and go, you can't tell people that because it offends them. So this is just me. Sometimes I have issues. Sometimes I have questions. Sometimes I debate God. I mean, after all I've done, well, in my mind, I've done everything he's asked me. Maybe not to perfection like some of you, but I've tried. And I have failed. And I've gotten up and I've brushed my pants off. I've come out of an embarrassing moment to where I thought that what I was doing was the proper thing and the right thing, to find out that only it was the wrong thing and improperly done. And now I've got to stand with egg on my face, and I've got to walk in humility and bow before the people and tell them different things, that I'm sorry, I missed it. I know y'all don't do things like, but I have these issues sometimes because I am zealous for the Lord. And sometimes if we're not careful, our zeal will override our, this is not even in the notes, our zeal will override our obedience. This wasn't supposed to be a preach. It's not what I felt. And Jesus is looking at them, and after all that he's put them through, after all what appears to them to be just a roller coaster ride, he comes back and he's given direction again. How many of you can boldly say with certainty in your heart that whatever Jesus would tell you, you would do it? We don't even do it now. We have the whole Bible to tell us that we win. Little did they know they were living out what would be written for our learning. And they're having to deal with this in an emotional state of mind with confusion, misunderstanding, hopelessness, fear. And he says, now don't leave Jerusalem. How many of you know that we miss that part? We're so caught up in the upper room and the Holy Spirit coming down and just shaking our living socks off our feet. But we missed an intentional moment by him when he said, do not leave Jerusalem. What do you mean? What do you mean, don't leave Jerusalem? Everything has gone down. Everything's upside down. Don't leave Jerusalem. Jerusalem, it's the city of peace. Jerusalem. Don't leave the city of peace. Stay in the city of peace. Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city that was set on a hill. It was higher. Don't leave Jerusalem. I want you to stay at Jerusalem until the promise has come. I think many of us right now probably need to take this command, this instruction, and we need to not leave Jerusalem. Come on, come on, just stick. Please ride the bus with me. There are things that are in your life, even right now as I speak to you, that has got you in turmoil, that has got you in confusion, that has got you twisted, that has you unsure. Jesus sent me to tell you this morning, don't leave Jerusalem. Pastor, where's Jerusalem? How many do we have to get bus tickets and go? I'm sorry, I'm starting to weep, so I want to get I want to lighten it up a little bit. Do we have to get bus tickets to go? Where's Jerusalem? It's the city. So many times, man, when life presents itself in awkward ways and awkward moments, we find ourselves running from Jerusalem. Am I talking to anybody other than me? We have to understand, number one, who this direction come from. This wasn't some guy that just walked by and said, go to Jerusalem. This was a guy that had proven that all of God's promises are yes and amen in him. All of God's promises are yes in him and amen in him. Not in God, in Jesus. Jesus had already told them, I've got to go. And it's going to happen. And you can't keep me here. I know you want to, and I'd love to stay, but it's better for you that I go, that I might send one like myself. But we have a tendency to run from places in our life because we have forgotten what Jerusalem was. See, Jerusalem is set up on a hill. They went and they got into the upper room. In order to get into the city of peace, we've got to elevate ourselves from the noise of the crowds on the street. See, if you've ever gone over there, the streets over there are narrow. They're not like these 8-lane highways that we have here. These streets are narrow. And sometimes, but you don't want to be caught on a street when another car, I mean, there's nowhere to go. I mean, there's a lot of rubbing over there, and it ain't from racing. It's just getting by. There's so many different color cars over there. The brown one passes a white one. The black one passes a yellow one. That's just the way it works over there. The streets are tight and the crowds are plentiful. There's hardly any room to move around. Can you imagine being in the midst? Oh, I'm sure you can because some of you are there right now. You're in the midst of all the hustle and the bustle that's on the streets and you're trying to tend. You're trying to observe the promise, but you can't observe the promise because everything around you is causing dysfunction. It's causing confusion. It's causing hurt. This guy, boy, just brought me right back to this guy over here is talking about this. This guy's over here talking about that. This woman's screaming at the kids. These kids are running around doing it. This guy's doing that. These people are doing this. This couple is arguing. This couple is laughing. These people are drinking. These people are begging. The hustle of life. And you're trying to understand the promise. Because you have no peace. Because you can't find the peace. Because you've left the peace you're left unsure of the promise. I don't know about you, but I fight that, because it's never just this. It's always this and that. Oh, and it's that, and it's the other. Oh, it's something new. It's something old that has raised its head again. It's And we find ourselves standing, and we find ourselves to go and ask God, what the what? Didn't you say? Wasn't this your promise? None of this matches. It all appears to be totally opposite. And he has instructed us to go and do not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Is anybody waiting? I wonder how many of us struggle in the waiting. This morning I actually put a couple notes down, and I don't know if I want to go back to them. We've walked with the Lord. We've witnessed His great workings in our life. But because of dark seasons, we often decide to turn from what has brought us to this point. I need to tell you something this morning. The same grace that brought you here will be the same grace that will walk you out of here. See, it's when that you can find yourself abiding in peace, when you become capable of withstanding. Some of you can witness to this. When you're at peace about something, nothing bothers you about it. Anybody? I mean, have you ever been there? I mean, some of us might be there right now, but I'm sure that we've experienced that. It's when we're at peace that we're able to withstand. It doesn't matter what's over here, and it doesn't matter what's over there, and it doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what's happening. It's when you find yourself in Jerusalem. Oh, another great thing, not in the notes, this is free. Another great thing about Jerusalem is when you're in peace with something, you have a tendency to have discernment. A far greater discernment than what you have when you're walking in the streets. Because now in Jerusalem, I'm higher. I can see what's coming. I don't have to worry about it. I already know it's on its way. And I already know that in order for that to get over here, it's got to go through all of that. And by the time that gets here, it'll be tired. I won't. And God will set up things for us to protect us. Oh, my goodness gracious. And you will keep them in perfect peace. Those whose minds, come on, are set upon you and trust you. He'll take care of you. Those whose minds are set on Him. You can't let everything destroy you. You can't let everything get in the midst of your life and start shaking different routes out for you. You've got to maintain course. It's when we stand in the midst of peace, we are able to hear God speaking. See, when you're above the noise, things become a little clearer. I can bring this back to deer hunting, actually, sitting in a tree stand. Because if I hear the right sound, it draws my attention. And once I see what it is, it can be a squirrel, not a deer. That makes us mad. But it can be a squirrel. But if you will just enjoy it. Makes me mad. But as soon as I spot that squirrel, it's almost as if no matter how far off it goes, I hear. Every time it makes a... Boy, isn't it amazing how your senses will work together? Come on, follow me. Don't get caught up in deer hunting. If I can see what's moving, I can hear what it's doing. If I can get up and get this closer to Him, now I can begin, watch this, Dennis. Now I can begin seeing Him move. Now I won't miss it when He takes a right, because I'm with Him. Because I'm above the noise. I'm away from the chaos. Are you following? Are you tracking? It's when we experience this place of peace, we experience the power of His love. It's when we experience this place of peace, we experience the power of His love. They were given instruction to go to Jerusalem. And they went into the upper room where they were staying. And it was there they experienced the promise. They wouldn't have experienced that promise staying where they were. I know you want to. I know that you're one of those people, and you want to think that no matter what you do, God's just going to dump it on you anyway. But I got news for you: if you're not in line and you're not properly modeling what it is He's after, I'm going to hurt your feelings. He will walk past you, Esther. Y'all read the book, ain't you? Didn't her father-in-law tell her, if you don't? Yep. Was it cousin? Y'all help me. Cousin. Almost messed that up too. Boy, the pastor got so much weight on him. Cousin said, if you don't go, he gonna send somebody else. Oh, you keep setting in your rebellion. And then you're going to set back with envy in your heart because somebody got a blessing. Never mind. I know y'all don't want to deal with that this morning. I got you. It is here in the peace of God we find the dove of divinity, the one who comforts His children. You have to be in Jerusalem. Have you ever seen a dove land on rough water? Doves are edgy. I say they're edgy, but they're actually on high alert at all times. But doves are edgy. Something get them spooked, but they gone. A dove ain't going to settle on your rough waters. Double-minded man. Shouldn't ask anything because God won't give it. You can't be wishy-washy. Y'all thought I was way off on that, didn't you? You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be ebbing and flowing all the time. Sooner or later, you got to stand. Wonder how many of us are running from Jerusalem and not to Jerusalem. But going back to Jerusalem, I've got to go through all the chaos. You got to get past the chaos. You have to get above the noise. Holy Spirit, I feel like I'm losing them. I feel like I'm losing them. This room that they went into, this room contained other people with their own problems and their own issues. Come on. I mean, we're talking about the Brothers of Thunder. I would say, and I'm just kind of entering myself into the text, but I would imagine Peter was kind of hard to get along with. Just me, and I may be totally wrong, and if I am, then I'll apologize. But I have a feeling that Peter was kind of hard to get along with. And you're asking me. I'm going somewhere with this. You're asking me to go into a room with this guy. And all he's been talking about cutting people's ears off. All he's been talking about is going fishing. Where Tommy go? All they keep thinking about is everything else outside of. But they've been invited to this room also. God, I got a question. If you're working with me and, you know, checking me out and trying to put me in a place of peace, you're going to have to do something with brother. See, we have this tendency. We have this tendency to think that this place of peace is a virtual place. We have a dim understanding that this place of peace is actually Jerusalem, and it's actually in a room, in the upper room. We think that this place of peace, we have to go somewhere to find this place of peace. The peace that I am talking to you about this morning. The place that you find the peace that I am trying my hardest to preach to you right now into your souls. Is a peace that you find here. No matter what your circumstance is, no matter what life is offering you, no matter what God is or is not doing in your life, no matter what is happening, there should be a peace. Amen. Oh, we pray it over you too. Yes. We do. We listen, I try to pray peace over you all the time. God, give them peace. Give them comfort. Give them stability. Give them understanding. Give them wisdom. Give them knowledge. Give them some fortitude. And I'm starting to find that, you know, this thing that I'm praying, God, give them, give them, give them. Jesus has already said, peace, I leave with you. My peace, I give to you. Not the peace that the world offers. I'm in Scripture. Not the peace that the world offers, but my peace. And we're praying. What is wrong with our theology? What, have we really lost it that much? That we would pray for things that God has already given. He didn't say, now if you ask me, I'll give you peace. He didn't say, now if you walked a certain way, I'll give you peace. If you gave a certain amount, I'll get. That's not what he said. Peace I leave with you.
Yes.
Peace I give you. My peace. Amen. What was his peace? It was a promise. And I've already told you, and I think it's in Hebrews, that all of the promises are yes and amen in him. Watch. All of his promises are yes in him, him being Jesus. All of God's promises, follow me, all of God's promises are yes in Jesus and amen in Jesus to God's glory. Come on, follow me, through us. How's God get glory? Don't be so scared. He gets it through you. I need an example. Okay. Kings in Old Testament. Kings would go and they would defeat other cities. Right? Other countries. And these places had kings. And if they would go in and defeat that country or that city, whatever, that had that king, they would cut off. Y'all just need to read this thing. I'm telling you, if you read, it's going to. But they used to cut off the king's garment, the tails of the king's garment, and they would have them sewn. I'm getting ready. Somebody, one of y'all right now getting ready to have a purple head. Watch this. And they would sew it onto their garment. Would make their garment longer, greater. It gave them more glory. That's why the Bible speaks of, and his robe. You with me? Because he's the. Every time that he wins you over with his love. Every time that you surrender an addiction, a problem. He cuts off the garment. Oh, I don't have time. We give all glory and honor to him. It's not for our glory. It's for him. Aren't you glad that you can stay? Watch this. I can't wait. Because look, I'll stand over in the corner too. I'm okay with it. But I'm going to go like, yeah. Some of that robe was me. I I got done with my pride. I got done with my selfishness. Some of that glory he's got, that's from me. I'm not saying that egotistically. Don't misunderstand me. To know that you have a part in building his kingdom, amen, it should put something inside of you. Yep. Love, adoration, something to him. But it should put something in you. Don't be prideful. I'm just excited that he found a donkey on the side of the road and said, "Hey, Rocky." I can't KJV y'all because Dennis, they don't understand. Some of them, they'll be going home saying, "Did you hear what the pastor said?" Yeah, I heard. This place of peace is not a physical one, but it's one of the mind and the heart, and can only be found in the love of the Father by his Spirit. Not what the world offers. Your peace doesn't come because your bills are paid. Your peace doesn't come because you have complainers or you don't have complainers. Peace doesn't come when a baby stops crying. We need to pray for you. God, I rebuke that spirit. You don't find peace when life lines up to your expectation. Oh, just, I wish you would ask me how I know. Boy, life is so full of ebbs and flows. And if you can't stabilize yourself in the midst of it, it's going to overcome you. And when it overcomes you, your neck hurts. Your shoulders are tight. You start to worry. You start not sleeping. You start making dramatic decisions. I'm not telling them that I'm doing any of this. I'm just giving them examples. I don't even, God, you give me the best church in the world because I don't even have they got this. I mean, they've got this thing licked. There's no trouble in paradise. They got this thing sewed together. I mean, there's no quarrels. The husbands loving their wives, and the wives are submitting to their husbands. I mean, there ain't nothing. I said that, and she looked, but I think it was because he was just chatting in her ear, so I'm not going to pull her out. I said it, and it was just one of those inopportune moments. I said it, and she went, but it was because he was talking to her. Just, whoo. Move along. That's what you, move along, little doggy. Move along. I said wives were submitting to their husbands, not ordering them. I just thought I'd revisit that just a second. Boy, oh boy. This place is where we must consider the one that who gives us the promise in the first place and recognize that He is faithful and a giver of all good things. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. It's by and through Him that we have the peace available. He's the surety, like the surety bond. You know what I'm talking about. It's just making sure that they get their money. Oh, come on, follow me for a minute. Y'all don't know nothing about construction. So in construction, sometimes you have to offer up a surety bond, which ensures the jurisdiction or the state or whoever else that's money grubbers, that they're going to get their money. They actually holding your feet to the fire that you're going to do what they told you to do when they give you the permit. Because if you don't, they're going to pull from that surety bond and get somebody that will. That surety bond gives them a peace. See, y'all ain't think I can tie it. I'm with it. Holy Spirit just going, nah, just roll this. Here, roll that. Jesus is my surety bond.
Yes. Amen.
That's why He said all of His promises, all of God's promises are yes and amen through Jesus. Y'all so complicated, man. I try to do this in the simplest form that I possibly can do it. That's all I needed to hear. And just like that. And just like that. The peace that you're missing, it's your problem. I don't want to end it on a bad note. He said, I give it to you. He done everything. He stamped the surety bond. And He said, God, I finished it all. I was the one that completed all the tasks. I upheld the law. I maintained the prophets. All is well. Take me home. And then He said, all right, knucklehead. Here's your peace. What are you going to do with it? I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't leave Jerusalem because of what circumstances you face. Decide in your heart that you will remain in Jerusalem until the promise. Fidgety. They're going, oh Lord, don't let him come over here. Don't send your messenger to this. Just let me sit over here. Let me worry about my little word. Don't send him over, because he gets nosy. He gets in the living room. I've had him in the cupboards before, in my refrigerator. Got bold and open up snot drawers. You know about the promise. You believed the promise. Now life has given you different. And now you don't want to sit and wait and rest at peace. you want to move. Because you have to fix it. Because you have to fix it. And then you find you can't. Boy, you made a mess. You tried to bait. See if I say. Oh. I'm going to say it anyway. You tried to bake the pastor some brownies, but you decided to follow your own recipe. Be easy. Don't nobody hurt yourself. Them boys back there, I'm going to send Mama Teresa back there with them. You done it with some dark chocolate or something. Try offer up some sugar-free stuff. Boy, you ain't gonna trick me. I'm telling you now, my taste buds 100% on brownie. 100%. And you alter in... Nope. She said, ain't nothing wrong with them. Yeah, they are. Just go ahead and tell me the truth. Don't you lie in the temple. The Holy Spirit will smite thee. Isn't that what we do? God's recipe doesn't look delicious enough. It's not fast enough. His recipe, it takes some... It's that sourdough bread. That's why I don't eat rolls. It takes too long to make them. Just give me a slice of bread. I'm fine. Got to set them out for 24 hours and smack them and knead them and roll them and throw them back in the... I did all of that nonsense. Just, can I just have a ham sandwich? But now you got to have all that and then put ham on it and then put cheese and then put butter and then put stuff and then call them something. No, that ain't what to call. What you call? The what? Sliders? What's a slider? Never mind. It only matter. You could have put it on a biscuit. I can go on a piece of white bread. I don't care. Wheat bread. Rye bread. I don't want to wait for it. So sometimes when God's recipe looks like it's going to cause too much attention to detail and I got to work it and I got to need stuff and I'm going to go to Kroger and get me some white bread. And I get there, I left my wallet at the house. And you got to go back home. Then you're mad. And you don't want to go back out. See, I'm just telling on me. And now I don't want to go back out. Guess what? I ain't even going to get because I didn't want to wait an extra 15 minutes for her to do something. Y'all ain't with me. Y'all's life is so much 1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all got cadence in your life. It's so boring. You wake up and you hear boom, 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 boom. That's all you hear. Your life's boring. I like a little broops every once in a while. A peace that surpasses all understanding is yours. It's yours. Some of you go walk out of here and you just go put peace in your pocket. You go think it's a piece of gum or something. Yeah? It's ours. Why do we struggle with it? Why do we struggle with the peace that enables me to endure and stand steadfast in a promise that I know God's going to bring to fruition. It might not be how I want it to come about, but it's coming. It may not be this June or July, but it's coming. It might not have blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and green eyes, which was the hope of my... Never mind. And then I don't get none of it. But I had to stand steadfast 31 long years trying to get it right. Y'all pray for me? Still struggling. I said I was struggling. I didn't say she was. But she is too. By Facebook. By YouTube. Love you. How many of us struggle with this peace? I mean, man, if we could just ever... I can talk to you because I know yours too. If we, me and you, if me and you could just ever figure it out, it's going to be okay, we wouldn't say nothing back. Even when they wrong, we just leave them alone. 99% of the time, 0.9, they wrong. But we just leave them alone. We find peace in knowing that we're okay. She fight me yesterday on a computer. I said, you have to download. She said, I did download it. And I said, no, you didn't. I thought I was going to have to fight with oil and everything. And then she went up there and she says, oh, I did. Why'd you have to get so nasty when you, I mean, you was wrong. Be humble. Operate in the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy and peace, patience, long-suffering. Not for me. That's your fruit, not mine. Making me suffer long. That ain't what God put you in my life for, I don't think. Girl, I'm done preaching. I'm trying to end it on a light note because I know many of you suffer with it. You struggle in your peace. And I'm just telling you that Jesus gives you a peace that you cannot match, and nothing in this world will ever give you the peace that he left you. Every time you think you've got it, man, you want more. Every time you think it's right, you want to do better. Y'all not going to listen to me. That's why I'm closing. That's why I already told them goodbye, because I knew y'all shut me off. Y'all don't want to hear pastor in your business. You just want to hear a good little warm message and send you home, make you feel good about the sin that you lived in all week. There it was. I'll just give it to you. Now you can go home and relax. Let God deal with you. You want me to talk to you, I promise. Daddy's hand's a little stronger than mine. Just a little bit. See, I feel guilty making you feel bad. He don't. He just said, you should have listened. Come here. Okay, I got through that. I need y'all pray for me. I'm going to go to Rick's house after church. So don't get mad if my wife just ups and runs, because I'm telling her when we're done with church, she's not loving you around your neck. She's not going to hold your hand so you can get a drink of water. You're grown adults. You can handle it. She's getting up and we're leaving. We have kingdom business that we have to tend to. Y'all tend to this kingdom business here. We're going and tend to that kingdom business there. But I'm struggling. I was asking God last night about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, God, why do people have to go through rolled over on my back and I looked at Sil and I said, why can't you just go over there and fix it? Pastor, your faith, shut up. It's not for the unbelief that he can't. It's for the suffering that he has to face. You won't understand that unless you learn to love people and stop being so arrogant and self-centered and self-righteous. Three years into a marriage and now she's got to say goodbye. God, where's the fairness? So y'all pray that when I go and pray with him, because he sent me a text yesterday, he said, I think I need some face-to-face prayer time. And I said, buddy, I'm coming. You need me there tonight? He said, no, you can come in the morning. How do you look at a man and tell him God loves him? And he's counting his breaths. Can somebody help? Y'all help the pastor today. And I know God loves him. He loves him even if he's a sinner going to hell. He still loves him. I understand that. Told Aaron this morning, why does he tell us to go and lay hands on the sick? Don't you preach at me. But this is tough. Thanks to God, I've only known him a short period. Because if he's been a long brother for me, man, this would destroy. I don't know what is the deal with him, but he's got a hold to a heartstring. And he said, I'm trying to stay strong, Rocky. I said, brother, I'm trying to stay strong with you, to be honest. But we're going over there and we're going to pray with them. And I got into a struggle within me on how I was going to pray. Well, let me tell you the battle. Can I talk to you? Just you. I'm laying in the bed going, well, how I pray for him today? You know, do I pray that God give him comfort? That God protects his mind. I said, well, why you ain't gonna just demand the cancer to leave? Because I already have. And now it's gonna be on display in front of the family. And what if he don't? And then the family says, there ain't no God. Y'all don't understand that struggle. Pastor, you're supposed to be bold. You up here preaching. My disclaimer was I had issues. Ain't that what I said during the sermon? I said I had issues, right? So when I'm asking for you to pray for me, I mean it. Because I'm not perfect either, Meg. You don't have to be so quick to agree with me. I'm not perfect either, Margaret. I know not tell her I'm not perfect because she'd have been just like Meg. I'm going to come to somebody that has some sensitive spirit about them. I mean, you want to know how to get somebody down, boy, just talk to Meg. I'm joking. I'm just glad we can be kind of lighthearted right now. I'm sincere when I ask you to pray for me. I'm sincere when I tell you I'm praying for you. If the ecclesia doesn't rise up, does that mean everybody we touch is going to get healed? I don't know. I'm just at an exhausted point. I don't know. The only thing I do know is this, that God loves each and every one of us. He promises that he'll never let me do it alone, no matter what it is. And he's faithful. I can hear some of you in your mind, you're playing things to tell me. Just don't. Because I've already heard them. I've said them to myself. Well, if God don't heal him here today, Pastor, he'll heal him there. I told you I had issues. Today I got issues. I really hope that I don't get so spiritually mad and frustrated in the home that I start wrecking his living room and throwing tables and kicking televisions. This is how ticked off I am at the enemy, because I'm tired of seeing the enemy. He's making the appearance as though he's got it in control. Sicknesses and deaths, early deaths, abortions, addictions, divorces. I mean, if we were to stand back and be honest, just be honest for a minute and look at that, it would appear to be as though Satan has it in control. And then I go, well, no, God's got it in control. And then I go, well, crap. He put me on earth to have dominion. Why am I not controlling it? What are we doing? I'm sorry. I just had to, before I got over there. Now I can walk in there like a... and I can kneel at his feet and I can pray for him. And everything will be love, joy, and hope, and peace. I'm just angry. Man, in the battle last night, I hear the enemy talking about, well, Rocky, he just give his life to Christ. You expect him to be healed too? I said, yeah. Isn't that the will of the Father? Yes.